this morning, if you get three services out of one passage of Scripture, that's pretty good. And, of course, I was referring to also it being read during before Sunday school, but I looked at this passage of Scripture, and I have still had it on my mind this week with Thanksgiving and everything. And it's a good passage of Scripture. It is a psalm that David gave unto the children of Israel. But I kept thinking about that, and I was wondering about that, and I began to think to myself, why did David give this psalm of thanksgiving to the children of Israel? What is the context behind it? What had he been going through that he wanted them to give thanksgiving and praise and sing unto the Lord and glory do unto his name? And so I begin to think about that, the why of it. And there is a specific why of it. In verse number 7, notice what the Bible says. It says, then on that day. There was a day, there was a reason, or there is a reason behind this passage of Scripture. And I begin to study about it. And of course, you don't have to go very far to find out what the occasion was here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, why he gave this psalm unto the children of Israel to be sang, or for them to sing on that day. Verses 1 and 2 tells us what was going on there. In chapter 16 it said, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And so it was on that day when they brought the ark of God home. And I begin to study about this bringing the ark of God back home. You see, the worship in Israel and in Jerusalem had been upset for years and years and years. And I begin to try to study and figure out just how long it had been since the ark had been away and out of its proper place. And it had been, I want to say, somewhere between 180 years. That the worship of God had been all out of sorts and all messed up. And if you study into it, the ark got out of place way back in 1 Samuel chapter number 4 when Samuel was a young man. And some of you remember that are Bible readers. You remember that Eli was the high priest at that time, and Hannah brought Samuel unto the Lord and gave him unto the Lord, and he was brought up at the hand of Eli, and Eli had two wicked sons named Hophni and Phinehas, and the children of Israel got in a war with the Philistines, and Hophni and Phinehas had this bright idea, and it wasn't a bright idea, it was a very unwise decision, but they got in the war and they said, we'll take the ark of God out from its place and we'll use that in the battle, and surely God will bless us. And so Hophni and Phinehas took the ark of God out into the battle, and you know what happened there? Hophni and Phinehas were slain. The ark of God was captured by the Philistines. When Eli heard the news of what had happened, he fell back in his chair and he died. And Phinehas' daughter was with child, and she was in labor during all that time. And when she heard all this bad news about her husband being killed and the ark of God being taken and Eli dying, the Bible said that she named her son Ichabod, which means the glory of God is departed. And so for years and years, the ark was out of its place. And that was all during the life of Samuel. And it was that way during the life of Saul. And now King David, in his reign, he brings the ark of God back home after all these years of it being away. The coldness and the formality and the ritual that they had went through all those years, because they had been going through the motions. But it hadn't been right. You know, sometimes it's like that in the church. We can go for years and go through the motions and the coldness and the formality and the ritual and just coming and all of those things, but it not really be right. But here it began to really be right. The ark is coming back home. And the ark in the Bible is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blessings upon the people, and the coldness began to melt away from God's people, and it was a day of shouting and joy and singing and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Look in chapter 15 and verse 25, what was going on when they were bringing the ark back home. And as I've said, the ark is a type of Christ. And here he is among his people and he's blessing them. And the storm is over and past, and they had tried to bring it home, and a man reached up, touched the ark, and God slew him for that. And they took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, and they said, well, we'll just leave it there. And about 3 months had went by, and the Bible said that God had blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And so David knew that the blessing of God, he wanted to be upon his people. And he said, you know what? We'll try to bring it on home, but we're not going to do it our way on a new cart. We're going to do it God's way. And they carried that ark, and that's a type of Christ, and his burden and his work has to be upon us. We can't do some new mechanical way that we come up with, but we've got to carry the burden ourselves. And it said in verse 25, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bare the ark and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of the song, with the singers. David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise, with psalteries and harps. And so it was a type of a time of great blessing among God's people, and the storm of God's wrath was over and past, and the storm is over and the sun comes out. I thought about it in Song of Solomon 2:12, where Solomon said, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And you know what was happening there among God's people? There was a revival taking place. Hadn't been like that in a long time. Boy, they're bringing the ark home and they're shouting and they're praising God and they're singing the old songs of Zion, and God is meeting with them there. And thankfulness, what was the theme of the whole thing? Was thankfulness unto God for what he had done. Being thankful for his presence and thankful for his blessings and thankful for his wondrous works among the people. And so David gave that psalm to give thanks unto the Lord. And he said there in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And so thankfulness is abounding all among God's people. And you know what? I could stop right there and just preach a little bit this morning. Because we just had Thanksgiving in our nation. And I hope there's been a time where you've just got alone with God and just thanked him. And thanked him for what he's done for you. Now if you get your eyes looking on what everybody else has got, you know, you might be depressed. But if you just take a little time today to think about what God has done for you, you can get real happy in the Lord if you'll really look. If you really look what God's done for you, boy, I was standing there, or I was in the house yesterday, and I was studying, and I was thinking about God's blessings, and had blessed me, and I looked over on the hillside over there, and we can see Willow Valley Church Cemetery from our house, and they're up there working and putting up a tent, and I thought to myself, well, I thought, Lord, I pray you'd help those people. I thought to myself, that could have been me. Could have been any of my family going through all this stuff, and how sad that'd be right here at Thanksgiving and burying your loved ones and all of those things. And I begin to try to thank him and praise him for my family and all that he's done for me. And I hope you've taken time to do that this week, but that's not what I want to even preach on this morning. I want you to look in verse number 29. All that's by way of introduction. In verse 29, the Bible said, and it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. And I want to try to preach this morning for a little while on the subject, why, and her name is pronounced Michal. I always say Michal, but it's Michal. I want to preach on why Michal could not enjoy thanksgiving. Why Michal could not enjoy thanksgiving. The whole nation was praising and thanking God and singing and shouting and had joy in their midst. And Michal, she just couldn't enjoy thanksgiving. In fact, when she looked out on David there and saw the great blessings and everything that was going on, the Bible said that she despised him in her heart. When all these good things were going on, she sat alone in her room, her lips pooched out 4 miles, arms crossed, hating what God was doing down there. She just couldn't enjoy it. And I thought to myself as I read over this passage of Scripture and the why were they praising and thanking the Lord, I thought to myself, my Lord, what's wrong with her? And then I thought to myself, she's not alone. There's a lot of God's people across the land. They'd probably even somebody here this morning that just couldn't enjoy Thanksgiving. Maybe couldn't enjoy the good singing and the good presence of God and can't really enjoy somebody testifying and having the touch of God on them and thanking and praising Him and being filled with His Spirit. Just can't enjoy the things of God. What's wrong? Let me show you some things. This morning I told Kim, I said I was going to preach a post-Thanksgiving message. I've never done that. But Thanksgiving is over. She just couldn't enjoy it. Let me show you some things. Number one, there's just 4 things I want to show you this morning. Number one, she was a daughter of flesh. Look at verse 29. The Bible said, and it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, the daughter of Saul. Bible readers this morning, if you know anything about the Bible, you will know that Saul, King Saul and his kingdom is a type of the flesh. Saul was a carnal individual. There were times, yes, when the Spirit of God came upon him, and I'm not saying this morning that he wasn't saved, but his time as a king and his life, by and large, represents that which is carnal and fleshly. You remember Saul was, he won the People's Choice Award among the people. You know, they have that now. They have, singers, actors, whatever, the People's Choice Award. Who does the people vote for and want to be the best actor and the best singer and the best this and the best that? Well, they had that way back then, and Saul won the contest. The children of Israel wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations. They didn't want to follow God anymore. They wanted to be like the Philistines, and they wanted to be like the Canaanites, and they wanted to be like all these other nations. And they looked around them, and they seen Saul. He was taller than everybody else. And they said, we want Saul. And God told Samuel, if you remember over there, he said, you might get him, but after a while you won't like him. That's paraphrasing. That's summarizing real short. But you know what? They said, we don't care. We want Saul. We want a king. We want somebody to come and rule over us that we might be like all the other nations. And he started out with a fleshly design even. I mean, the people wanted him. He wasn't who God wanted. He was who the flesh wanted. And you remember later on in Saul's ministry, I mean, he was all time having trouble, and he was all time troubled in his spirit and couldn't sleep and all of these things. And when he rebelled against God, do you remember that? He rebelled for fleshly things. God said, I want you to go down there and kill that king Agag. God told Saul, he said, wipe them all out. Don't leave anybody. And Saul looked at the sheep and the lambs and the stuff. And he spared the best of it. And he said, oh, I've got a good intention in that. I'll give it to the Lord. But God told him that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. But Saul chose fleshly things. And Saul is a type of the flesh and living after the flesh and what you want, not what God wants. David is a type of the spiritual man. He is a type of being led by the Spirit. And let me tell you something this morning. You can live for this flesh and this world and the devil, and you can have it all. You can have it all on a silver platter, and you can walk on a red carpet, and you can have anything and everything and strive after and want the things of this world, and you can attain it. You work and you labor, and you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and boy, I want the world and the things of this world, and you can have it all and still go to bed miserable. And toss and turn and not have peace and joy and satisfaction and gratefulness in your heart and stay tore up all the time. That's how Michal was. Let me show you something. She was the king's daughter, and then she became the king's wife. I don't believe there was ever a time in her life where she ever wanted for anything. She should have been happy. She should have been satisfied. But I'm telling you, she wasn't satisfied because she lived for the flesh. She was a daughter of the flesh. And flesh does not satisfy. James 4:4, the Bible said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But you can live after the spiritual this morning, and your life's experience will be different. The Bible says in Romans 8:4, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you can live after spiritual things and after the things of God. And you can be like Job. You can lose the farm. You can lose your family. You can lose your finances. And you can lose a whole lot of things. Still be like old Job was. I think it's in chapter 13:15. He said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Praise God, it's going to be all right. I'm still going to praise him. I'm still going to thank him. I'm still going to look up to heaven from the hills from whence cometh my help. I'm going to praise him in spite of everything. If you can't enjoy Thanksgiving, you need to know that Thanksgiving is not about food and football and Black Friday and all of those things. Thanksgiving is a spiritual matter. It's a matter of the heart. And old Michal, she couldn't enjoy Thanksgiving. She couldn't enjoy what was going on because her heart was in the wrong place. She's a daughter of the flesh. But I want to show you something else this morning. Not only was she a daughter of the flesh, she was divided from the flock. Look there in verse 29, what the Bible says. It said, and it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing. She was divided from the flock. She was upstairs in her room, looking out the window of what was going on out there in the city and how God was blessing and all of those things. And you know, you might think that she was locked up there of her own accord or against her will. But that wasn't the case. Nobody put her there and locked the door and threw the key away and said, no, Michal, you can't come down and enjoy what God's doing today. She was there because she wanted to be. And she was there because she didn't want to be with what was going on down there with all those people praising and shouting and having joy and enjoying the things of God. She decided she just didn't feel well. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say why she didn't go down there, but she didn't go down there because she didn't want to go down there. She decided to stay home and pout about it. She decided to stay home. You know, maybe one of the kids had half a runny nose. I mean, let me just tell you this morning, if you want an excuse, the devil will give you an excuse to stay away from the flock, to not mix and mingle with God's people. And I don't know if she just decided to stay home, or she had to fix lunch for somebody, or she was tired or busy, or said she was sick or going to visit somebody later. You know, the Bible doesn't say, but she didn't want to go down there, and she didn't. She was divided from the flock. Do you know, if you decide to get out of sorts with God, and that's what we do, the devil will give you 1,000 reasons why you don't go to church, why you don't need to go to prayer meeting, why you don't need to be involved, why you don't need to pray, why you don't need to read your Bible, all those things. She'd have been a whole lot better off, even in her condition, in her fleshly condition, if she would have got herself dressed and went down there and rubbed elbows with God's people and got next to the ark, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if she'd have been around the joy and the shouting and the presence of the Lord and all those things, she'd have been far better off than to just sit there and pout and hate in her heart and all of those things. That's what she did. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know what? I believe if you want to be a good Christian, you need to be in the house of God. And if you're not in the house of God, you're just not a very good Christian. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did God give to the church these men, these pastors and teachers and evangelists? It goes on and says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How are you going to be perfected? How are you going to be edified? How are you going to be worked on if you won't even submit yourself to the teaching of God's word by God's appointed vessels? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? I do not find in my Bible any pattern of being spiritual outside the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was divided from the flock. She didn't go down where they were praising the Lord. She was a daughter of the flesh. And number three, she despised her fellow. Look back over here in verse number 29, what the Bible says. And it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing. And look what the Bible said. She despised him in her heart. That's getting right down where the rubber meets the road. That's what the problem was. She despised him in her heart. She had a heart problem. And she despised the one-time affection of her heart. He represented what was going on in the whole nation there. She despised. That word means that she hated it. She hated him in her heart. David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. Before I go any further, let me point out, you might think to yourself, well, that was in the Old Testament, and Michal was the daughter of Saul, and he just made her marry David for political reasons, and, you know, she was in it against her will and never really loved him anyway. You might think that. But you know what the Word of God says in 1 Samuel 18:20? It said, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Do you know at one time she really loved David? In fact, it says she loved him. And I didn't find where it says that he loved her. I'm sure he did. But it says first that she really loved him. In fact, she had one time risked her own life to save David's life. Saul was going to kill him. And it was after they were married and Saul was coming to kill David. And the Bible says that Michal let him down out of a window so he could escape. And she made an image in his bed like he was there. Now Saul could have came in and killed her for deceiving him, but she loved David more. See, they had love together. They had a life together. They had memories together, and they had all these times together and all of these things. But here the Bible says she despised him in her heart. You know what's wrong with a lot of people today? They just don't love Jesus like they did once upon a time. I mean, you can get all out of sorts and you can get away from the Lord and you can grow cold and indifferent and not even feel like you're saved and look at other people enjoying the blessings of God and say, boy, I don't understand that. I don't like to be around that. But I'll tell you what the problem is, if you ever once loved Him and you get where you don't love Him, you're going to have problems. You're not going to enjoy Thanksgiving. You're not going to enjoy Christmas. You're not going to enjoy church. You're not going to enjoy the preaching of the Word of God. You're not going to enjoy the old time songs. You can fall out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? The Lord Jesus told the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 in verses 4 and 5. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent, else I come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick. He said, remember and return and repent. Repent of not loving me like you did once upon a time and in many people's lives. And we get all caught up in the flesh and we get out of fellowship with the saints of God. And then the next thing you know, what happens to us, the flame that we once had is just a flicker. And that hot burning love we one time had for the Lord Jesus Christ is just not there like it ought to be. Well, I tell you, that's a time of problems in the saint of God's life when you get where you've lost your first love. Our furnace the other day went out. And usually if it goes out, I can just go hit the reset button, it'll come back on. But I went and hit the reset button and it wouldn't come back on. And so I called Brother Terry yesterday and I said, you come over and look at my furnace just a minute. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything I know. And he knows a little bit more about it than I do. And you know what? He come over there and began to take apart the guts out of that thing. And when he pulled out the nozzle where the oil goes out and the flame hits, it looked like it had been shoved down in the mud. It had a bunch of junk all over the end of it. And so he said, I believe right there's what your problem is. And so we got some cleaner and began to take it apart and get down in it and scrub on it and get that junk out of there. And you know what? When we got the junk out of it, it fired right up. And I told him that it had been burning, but when we really saw it burn, I said, it wasn't burning before. It was just flickering. But when it really began to burn, it's like the boy that touched the horseshoe. And he went into the blacksmith shop and the blacksmith had just got the red hot horseshoe off of the fire there and he dipped it down in the water and so it turned back black. And the little boy come in and he grabbed up that horseshoe and he threw it down real quick. And the guy said, hot was it? He said, no, it just don't take me long to look at a horseshoe. And that's how that thing got after a while. I reached up there to grab one of them pipes and I said, boy, that's working now. That's working now. You know what had happened was a bunch of junk had got around where the oil comes out and burns. And let me tell you something this morning. Your heart is where the oil of the Holy Spirit burns with the flame of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of times why you can't praise Him and why you can't love Him is because you've got junk in your life. It's got it all gummed up. And you just can't enjoy nothing God does. Amen. That's right. But if you'll come before God and if you'll tell Him what the problem is and you'll ask Him to do some work on you, I'm glad we have a loving God that'll come and clean by the power of the Holy Spirit and He'll put repentance down in your heart and He'll work on you. I was reading last night over in Psalms chapter number 51. And Psalms chapter number 51, David wrote after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And the Bible tells over there how that he had lost all of his joy that he had. And he said in verse number 7, I believe it is, he said, purge me with hyssop and clean me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Do you know what that's a picture of? That purging with hyssop. When God told the children of Israel to celebrate the Passover, He said, He told them to take that blood of the lamb and to put it in a bowl and to take some hyssop, that was a little plant, and dip it in that blood and strike the doorpost and strike it at the top and strike it on the side and strike it on the other side. And that's a picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And Isaiah said, by His stripes we are healed. Praise God. That's a type of being cleansed by the blood and getting down to the fountain where the glory comes out. And he said, and in verse number 12, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He had lost it, buddy. But he said, if I can just get to the blood, I'll be cleansed. I'll be white. I'll be restored. And all of these things, she despised her fellow. She just didn't love him like she used to. And then last of all this morning, turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter number 6, and I'll be done. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, this is the same story in two different places. And 2 Samuel chapter number 6 tells what 1 Chronicles does not tell. It tells what happened after that. It tells about Michal and what happened after that. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 and verse number 16, the Bible said, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And it goes on down and tells a little bit about what he did among the people, and he blessed them and they sang psalms and they just had a wonderful time. Then it said in verse number 20, it said, then David returned to bless his household. Well, I can just imagine David going home and wanting to tell Michal and everybody there, whoever else, boy, what a time. What a time we had at God's house today. Man, we shouted. I mean, the glory of God was there. And you talk about God's people and joy and praise. And boy, it hadn't been like that in a long time. And he wanted to go home and tell and share what God had done. And the Bible said in verse 20, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. Can't you just imagine that? She'd seen about all that she could stand. She met him at the door. Boy, she's going to give him an earful of what she thought about it. Said she came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. You see, David on this day had laid aside his kingly garments and he just wore a linen garment like a priest would. You see, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't come with all of our fancy and our fire and our pride and all them things. If you want to come and worship God, you got to lay all that aside. Just come like anybody else, like a little nobody. That's what David said. He said, I'm nobody special. I'm just like everybody else. I'm just praising God for all that He's done. And she's rebuking him over that because he wasn't dressed like a king and he wasn't acting like a king. Or how she thought the king ought to act. And then it goes on down in verse 21. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord. Over Israel therefore will I play before the Lord. He said, I didn't do that for you. I did it for God. Said in verse 22, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. And I believe David was saying right there, not only did I do it once, but I'll do it again. Don't let a snooty snoot put you off from praising God. Because there'll be somebody come along, throw off on it. And that's what she did. But look in verse 23. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Last of all, this morning, she was denied her fruit. First she denounced him. Or first she despised him. And then when he came home, she denounced him. She rebuked him. And you know what God did? God took away her ability to have fruit. God never allowed her to have any children in her life, which in that day, she said the king was had acted shamelessly. But in that day, it was a shame. It was considered a curse not to be able to have children, and God took her fruit away. You know what, this morning you and I, I'm just going to be real plain about it. We can have a whole lot of influence on setting our children on the path to heaven or the path to hell. And you want to know the quickest way to set them on the road to hell? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, despise not prophesyings. That means don't hate the preaching of God's word. That's what she did. She despised what God was doing. And she denounced in front of her household there and in front of everybody standing around. And she threw off on David in his worship of God. And God said, I heard that. I heard that. You'll never have children because of that. You know how serious this thing is this morning of our heart being right with God? And us walking with Him and being able to praise Him and being able to thank Him. You know what? I don't want to get around in heaven one day and find out who is not there because of me and my heart and my actions and the way that I live my life. As I look around this morning, I've got a whole lot of reasons why I ought to have my heart right with God. I got 3 good reasons sitting right back there. I got 4 good reasons sitting right back there. I got my wife. I got my little one. I got my middle one. I told Noah yesterday, I said that him and Chloe, they were my rhyming children. That was Noah and Chloe. And then Abigail, she's my hunting buddy. And thought about my wife. And then I thought, I got more reasons than that. Your children. They look up to the preacher. And your children also look up to the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and the people they sat beside and their grandmas and their nieces and their uncles and aunts and all of these things. Boy, I tell you what, I don't want to do anything in my life to cause somebody else to not be fruit of the Lord that He would have gave to me if I'd have just had my heart right. And I'll be honest with you this morning, I've been like Michal. I've been where I couldn't enjoy Thanksgiving. I've been where, you know, given the opportunity, now it's real hard for a preacher not to be where he ought to be, but he can be out of sorts. And I've told you this before. I remember when I come back from Idaho and we'd had problems out there and it just was hard on us moving back. And why did God do this? And I felt like the brethren, you know, had sort of, he's supposed to be in Idaho. What's he doing back here? I had a hard time. And I remember I had the opportunity to go down to Preacher Greg's church down at Midway. They were having a revival and Brother Buster Mullins was down there. And we went down there. And I'll be honest, I didn't really want to go. But I went because Dad had bugged me about it. And I went down there. And I remember he preached. And he talked about how he had went through a time in his life where he was cold and indifferent and just didn't have the power or the presence of God in his life. And he talked about how he just kept on going to church and how he'd get alone and he'd get over there and read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And he'd get over there and hear and see what Jesus had done. And he said after a while, the flame began to burn again. Boy, I thought about that a whole lot. I'm glad I never quit out or anything like that. And I just hang around God's people. And
be in some good services and hear the preaching of the Word of God, and like peeling an onion, you know, God does that sometimes. He just begins to take them old rotten layers off, and the hard layer, and one layer right after the other, and another, and another. And you know what? Sometimes for years God will work on us, but thank God He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I've been like that before. And I want to ask you this morning, could you enjoy Thanksgiving? Me Cal, she just couldn't enjoy Thanksgiving. They wasn't having Thanksgiving like we think, but they was having Thanksgiving. She couldn't enjoy it. If you and I cannot enjoy God and we look around and see how many ways He's blessed us, there's something seriously, seriously wrong with us. Because we are so blessed. We are so blessed. We have so much that others have not had. Shame on us. But why is it harder for us to praise Him than it was when they had to chop their wood and plant their gardens and get their cannon in, or they didn't, and they just run around barefooted all over the hills? Why is it harder for us to praise Him than it was them? I think sometimes, like Macau, we got too much, and we don't appreciate it. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Can you enjoy?